is here with us again this morning, and he's going to be bringing a message from God's Word. Thank you, Travis.
Morning, church. Excellent. Well, today's topic's an important one that's often overlooked in churches and in our own lives. The topic today is going to be about spiritual warfare and what's going on around us that we don't see. The theme verse for today is going to be Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18. Now, what I'll be doing today might look a little different than usual. We're going to be digging into the Bible quite a bit. And my main focus is to stay into Scripture and see what the Bible has to tell us about what's going on in the unseen realm. So, hope you brought Band-Aids for your fingers. We'll be doing a lot of flipping. Let's look at our theme verse now, Scripture, Ephesians 6, verse 10 through 18. Give you a little background of the book of Ephesians. It's written by Paul most likely while he was in prison in Rome, and it was addressed to the saints in Ephesus. So picking up in verse 10, in the third year of King Cyrus, King of Persia, a message was revealed to Daniel, whose name was called Belshazzar. The message, I was going to read verses 6, 10 through 18, I'm sorry. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And he said to me, do not fear, Daniel, for I am for... Bear with me. This is my first sermon. I'm not even in the right book. My bookmark fell out. Okay, let's start this one over in the correct book. I promise it'll go smoother now. Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 18. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is in the word of God, praying always with all power and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. So, there's a lot going on in here, and what I want to do is zoom in on verse 12. Verse 12 will apply to both of our questions for today, the first of which is what is going on around us. So, verse 12 says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So our fight isn't against humans, but it is against something that we can't see in the heavenly realms. A key word here is wrestle, which indicates that we have a struggle or an altercation of some sort. What we have here is a fight, spiritual warfare. This leads me to view things from a military perspective. I view the Christian life as this. We are soldiers who have been dropped from an airplane behind enemy lines, and we are on a combat mission. Our mission in this case is the Great Commission to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, to love God, and to love our neighbors as stated in Scripture. We can't come home until the commander has called us out of the war, until Christ calls us home. I like to think of this analogy to re-engage me when I'm struggling, when I have bits of anger or attacks from the enemy that causes me not to act in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. I think of this to get me focused that I'm not angry with my neighbor, but that I'm fighting a war with demons, with Satan, with the powers of the heavenly realms that I can't see. Next book we're going to look at is Daniel, the one I read earlier. We're going to go visit that once more. Daniel, verses 10 through 14. God has a way of humbling one. So some context here. Daniel has just been fasting and praying for 21 days with no response to his prayer. And now he sees a vision which takes away his strength, a vision of an angel who comes to talk to him. Picking up in verse 10, "Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. And then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there alone with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come.'" So there's something going on, something strange going on in this chapter. There seems to be some sort of conflict or resistance going on in the heavenly realms, something we can't see. Verse 13 says that this is the angel speaking to Daniel. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia." And when we skip down to verse 20, the angel tells Daniel that he being the angel, must return to fight with the prince of Persia. And look what happens next. The angel says that when I have gone forth, indeed the prince of Greece will come. So the angel has to fight with the prince of Persia, with the prince of Greece. It also appears to us in verse 13 that he had to fight with the kings of Persia, plural. So who are all these princes and kings? Well, we know that these are not human princes or kings, not flesh and blood, as Ephesians 6 reminded us. We know this because an angel would not have needed the archangel Michael's help to fight a human. We see that in various areas of Scripture. So what we have here is what Ephesians 6 alluded to. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this age, and against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. These princes and kings are the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And also note that there seems to be some kind of command structure within this group of demons. It appears that Satan has assigned a particular commander or demon in charge of a country or region. And this is the case because Satan is not omnipresent. He cannot be everywhere at once as our God is. So he has to set up these structures, as we discover in Daniel chapter 10. So here we have a good look of what's going on in a realm that we cannot see, the spiritual warfare that's going on around us. In 2 Kings chapter 6, God has given us another glimpse as to what's going on in the unseen realms around us. In 2 Kings chapter 6, I'll be in verse 15 through 17. Some context as you flip there. Elijah and his servant are in a city overnight, and the city has just been surrounded by a great army. Picking up in 15, "And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?' So he answered, 'Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them.' And Elijah prayed and said, 'Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see.' Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah." In Psalms 33:7, it says that the angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear him and delivers him. And we see that's the case in 2 Kings. The angel of the Lord encamped around Elijah and his servant. So now we have a good idea of what's going on around us. Let's turn to the book of Job, Job will help us answer question two. Who is attacking us, and what does that look like? Now, there are many ways the enemy attacks us, but this will give us an idea of one of the many ways that Satan goes after us and how it works. Now, I want to stop right there because we're going to address something. We've been talking about demons, and now we're about to talk about Satan. And I'd much rather talk about Jesus today, but I feel it's important to study the tactics of our enemy to understand him better and understand the war that we're in. Studying the enemy also shows us our need for Jesus and our dependency on him and the Holy Spirit. So Job chapter 1, I'm going to read a few verses in this chapter so we can get an idea of how the enemy works. I'll start with verse 6 through 12. Job chapter 1, 6 through 12. Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came along with them. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come from?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth, and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge of protection around him, around his household and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the works of his hand, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." And the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." All right, so let's dig into this a little bit. Verse 7 says, the Lord asks Satan, "Where does he come from?" And Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro on the earth and walking back and forth on it." Well, this sounds familiar. In 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, we are told, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, looking who he may devour." In this case, it's Job. Going down to verse 12, we notice something interesting. "Behold, all that he has is in your power," says the Lord. This is the Lord talking to Satan. "Only do not lay a hand on his person." So this is a revealing verse here. Satan has to go to the Lord for permission before he can touch one of his saints. God is sovereign. And this just shows it. Even over Satan's mischief, God is still sovereign. Satan has to go ask for permission. But also look, God gives him power. "All he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." Going down to 13 through 15, we see that Satan has influenced a group of raiders, the Sabians, to kill some of Job's daughters and sons. He's got power to influence people. In verse 16, we see something very interesting. And this is a servant speaking to Job. "Another came and said, 'The fire of God from heaven fell from heaven and burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them.'" So Satan was able to wield the fire of God from heaven. If we go to Revelation 13:13, we also see the same thing in the end days, when the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan are deceiving. In Revelation 13:13, he says, "He performs great signs so that he can even make fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men." Going down to verse 19, we see that Satan is able to harness the power of the wind against his servant, or against God's servant. "And suddenly a great wind came up from across the wilderness and struck the four corners of the house." So when we think of tornadoes and hurricanes, this might be what's going on. At least Scripture alludes to this, that with God's permission, Satan's able to use these things to harm his saints. Going over to Job chapter 2, verse 6 through 7, we get some more ideas of how the enemy can work. Satan goes out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils on the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. But I love Job's reply through all this. In verse 21, he says, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." I hope that's my response if all this came onto me. It's important for us to note that despite the enemy's attack, Job remained faithful to God. In chapter 1, verse 22, we are told, "In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong." And when we reach the end of the book of Job, we see that Job was doubly blessed. See, God allows hardships for our good and His glory, even if we can't see it that way. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Now, I want to address a common mistake. Some people, when they sin, they like to blame it on Satan. "Satan made me do it." Well, as we've seen here, Satan and his demons may have had a hand in tempting you to sin. But we're told in James 1, verse 14, that each one is tempted when he is drawn by his own desires and enticed. So I know we're not addressing sin in this message, but it is a point that I wanted to make. Okay, so we've looked at just a few places in Scripture that can help us just barely cut the surface on what's going on in the unseen realms around us, in the spiritual realms around us. We've used Scripture to help us get a better idea of just a few of the ways the enemy can affect us and what that looks like. So what do we do with all this? Well, I think it's important to take heed to what the Holy Spirit led Paul to write in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6. Paul tells us to take on the whole armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the evil one. He tells us, "Let our feet be fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and to let us pray in the Spirit." So when we wake up in the morning, we get dressed in our clothes for the day. But knowing what we know now, wouldn't it be wise to also get dressed in our spiritual clothing, the armor of God? In the morning, my wife and I try to remember to pray over each other and ask God to put His armor on us. And I think it'd be a good idea for all of us to do that, especially with what's going on in the world today and how dark the days ahead look. We need the spiritual protection now more than ever. But this only works if you're His, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you His? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? See, Jesus left His place in heaven, was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born to the Virgin Mary. He lived the perfect, sinless life that we could not. He was tortured, crucified on a cross for our sins, died and was buried in a tomb, and on the third day He rose again and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Death in this verse means separation from God forever, for eternity. The good news is told in Romans 10:9, which says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Verse 13 says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Have you done this yet? Let's bow our heads. Father God, thank You for Your Word. We just really thank You, Lord, that this is absolute truth, that You've given us truth. We don't know what truth is today with what's going on in the world, God, but this is truth. Lord, let us depart here today, understanding that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, evil forces that we cannot see that the Bible tells us about. Lord, let it be on the forefront of our mind to equip ourselves with your word, to fight against Satan with your word. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Travis, for challenging us this morning, and thank you for your words. Now, let's sing hymn number 559, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 559.